Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. You'll be getting your book in about 3 weeks, and here is hot off the press. Why were you born? From a speck of dust to a son of God. And you will have 3 discs, 1 CD, the whole book read, and 2 DVDs, each with 6 segments of Church at Home on From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. And when you get to number 12, be sure and follow through with the hymn, The Almighty God That Is There, because that'll be very inspiring. Let's ask the question, how did God do that? Well, let's talk about the Passover. Let's talk about what God did. Now, we know in Revelation 13:8 that it says, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, meaning it was planned. All right? Now, follow carefully this through. First of all, day 4, God set the appointed times. And we find in Galatians, the 4th chapter, that at the fulfilling of the times, Jesus was born. And everything concerning the life of Jesus Christ and the Passover and the plan of God is revealed through the holy days. But the Passover is the key, the center, or the hub. Now, the gospel, which is all about the life of Jesus Christ, and if you don't have the harmony of the gospels, request it, we'll send it to you. That is the 4th division of the Bible. The law of the prophets and the Psalms, the gospel and Acts is the 4th. Then you have the general epistles, 5, epistles of Paul, which are 6, and then you have the book of Revelation, which are 7. So whenever you have 7, 4 is the middle number. All right? When Jesus began his ministry, there were quite a few things at work. Number one, it was a jubilee year, a 50th year. And that begins on the Day of Atonement. And that Day of Atonement was the 4th day of the week. So you see how God stacks all of this together. Then you come down to, we'll get to the 4th book a little later. Let me just say this. The 4th book of the Gospels, Gospel of John, tells us more about God the Father than anything else in the Bible. Now, that's going to take a special sermon to do that, maybe 2. Jesus was crucified on the 4th day of the week, being a Wednesday. He was in the tomb 3 days and 3 nights, and he first ascended to the Father on the 4th day, then came back. Now, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, you have 40 days temptation. At the end of it, you have 40 days of special instruction to the apostles before his final ascension. Now, all of this has to do with the Passover, because that is the most important thing. Now, a testimony to how important it is how many hundreds of arguments there are to not keep it, or to reject it, or to change it. Now, here's a great principle we need to learn. No man can abrogate or change God's laws. No man. But if there is a change, then God will make the change and raise it to a higher spiritual level. Okay? So we will ask the question, how did God do it? Let's come to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, because this tells us a great deal of it. The whole Gospel of John, I've been reading and studying through it again, and you might want to do that. But you see, the value of studying and restudying and repetition is that every time you do it, you learn more. And sometimes you will find that when you're reading it, and you haven't read it for a long time, and you come in with all of the knowledge that you have up to that point and are reading it, it's almost like you never read it. Have you ever experienced that? All right. Here is the profound place to begin. John 1 and verse 1. And this is the beginning of how God did it. All right. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, there's a great argument over this verse. When you get into the Greek, okay, the Word was with God, and it is the God, okay, with the God. So therefore, some people say, well, Jesus is a lesser God, because when you have the Word was God, there is no definite article, the. Now, why? There are two reasons. Number one, the God, who's the Father, was already mentioned. So if you say the God, again, are you putting them both together? So the definite article is not there, but the Jehovah's Witnesses don't understand that, so they make a small g and say, and the Word was a lowercase God. Now, how are you going to be a lowercase God? I mean, think of it. Either you're God or you're not God. Okay? But the truth is, without the definite article, this is attributing equal status of God to the Word, which is the definite article, hologos. And he has all the attributes of the God. Now, how do we know from this verse that there are two who are God? All right, the phrase, and the Word was with God. Very interesting phrase in the Greek. With is pros. Now, that can mean with and toward. So he was with God, but facing toward God, okay? The Greek word for face is prosopon. Now, if you're going to speak face to face, it is prosopon, prosopon, equal. So there's an awful lot here. Now, Satan doesn't want people to understand this and what God is doing, so therefore, he clouds every issue he can. So let's go on. He was in the beginning with God. What do we have in Genesis, the first chapter? In the beginning was God. What's the Hebrew word for God? Elohim, not Eloah. Eloah is singular. Elohim is plural. So this is clarifying what was going on at creation. Verse 3 explains it even more. All things came into being through him, and not even one thing that was created came into being without him. Now, you just stop and think about this in your own life. What is it that you have of yourself, everything concerning the physical goods that you have, everything concerning the essentials for living, air, water, food? God has created all of it, hasn't he? That's why Paul writes that in God, whether you know it or not, even atheist, you live and move and have your being because you eat the food he created, you breathe the air he created, you drink the water he created, your bodily processes that are working in your body is what he created in you, and yet the power of free, independent free moral agency, IFMA, okay, independent free moral agency is so powerful, and God has given it to every human being, that you can even deny God And he won't force you to change your mind until you're in trouble. It's amazing how many atheists become converted in foxholes. Okay. Now then, let's come back here to Colossians, the first chapter, and let's see what Paul writes concerning this. Colossians, the first chapter. Okay, speaking of Jesus, verse 14, chapter 1, in whom we have redemption through his own blood, and we'll see how that is because that comes with the Passover, even the remission of sins. Now notice, who is the image of the invisible God. Now here's another little tricky verse that people like to say, well, Jesus was just a human being, firstborn of all creation. So therefore, Jesus was created. Come down here to verse 18 and you see how that is defined. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. So he is the firstborn of all that are going to be created through the process of salvation. Tie that in with Revelation, the first chapter and verse 4, firstborn from among the dead. All right. Now, let's come back here to verse 16. Because by him were all things created, in heaven, the things in heaven, and the things on earth. Now, if he is the firstborn of all creation, and you reject the explanation of verse 18, then another question comes up. Did Jesus create himself? If all things were created by him, and there was nothing that was created that he didn't create, how then did he create himself, and God the Father just stood by and watched him create himself? Okay, let's go on. The visible and the invisible, whether they be thrones or lordships or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all, and by him all things subsist. Now, come here to Hebrews, the first chapter. Let's see how Paul also explains this. Verse 1, Hebrews 1. God, who spoke to the fathers at different times in the past and in many ways by the prophets, has spoken to us in these last days by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages, who being the brightness of his glory and the exact image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he upholds all things. Now, we're going to see as we go through this, come back here to John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter. And I want you to keep in mind how great is the love of God. Because all of this revolves around the love of God. But let's get some of the other details first. Okay? Verse 4, John, the first chapter. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay, then it talks about John the Baptist and so forth. Let's come down here to verse 14. And the Word became flesh, and tabernacled among us, that is, dwelt temporarily among us, and we ourselves beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right? How did God do that? Now, the Catholics say that, first of all, Mary was better because she was born without what they call original sin, which the Bible calls the law of sin and death. If that were the case, she would have to be goddess in the flesh. Okay? So, how did God do this? He even told in the prophets, come back here to Isaiah the ninth chapter, he even told in the prophets that it was going to happen. So let's come here to verse 6. And I want you to think about this. Now, right here as we're reading verse 6, what does it say of God? God is spirit, meaning he's composed of spirit. He has life eternal. He is immortal. Okay? Now then, this verse has a lot of elements in it that when you first read it, you don't really grasp it, because you've got to understand the full plan of God. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now this is why they were looking for the Messiah to come as a human being and join the forces of the Jewish authorities to get rid of the Romans. But God's plan was greater than that. See, God is going to save the whole world. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Now, how do you call a physical man the Mighty God? See? Well, Nimrod thought he was, but he died. He said, I'm in place of God. The Everlasting Father. When is Christ going to be a father? You've got God the Father, but this can't be referring to God the Father because we saw they're two different beings, correct? When will Jesus be an everlasting Father? During the millennium, after the church is resurrected, and you have Christ and the bride, and all who come into the kingdom of God through the millennium are the children of Jesus Christ, who then is an everlasting Father because he lives forever. But without the New Testament, how do you understand this? You don't. The Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with righteousness from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now that contains a lot there too, right? Okay. Over his kingdom. Well, David is dead. His kingdom was little. But what is this going to be? The kingdom of God. When is he going to order and establish it? Well, he will start when he returns. All right, let's go on now. Let's see a little more about this. So what? Let's come back to John 17. John 17 and verse 5. Let's go back to verse 1. Jesus spoke these words and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your own Son, so that your Son may also glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, in order that he may give eternal life to all whom you have given him. So eternal life comes from the Father as well. For this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you did send. So therefore, they turn to that and say, God the Father is the only true God. Now, why would Jesus say that? Because he was in the flesh, and he had to have human nature. All right? Because he had to live a life having human nature, the law of sin and death, and never sin. I've glorified you on the earth. I've finished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with your own self, with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So he's going to return to be God in full glory, correct? All right? If he had glory before he became a human being, how did God do that? How did Jesus do that? All planned out. All planned out. Now, you'll be surprised how much the book of John tells us about God and the Father. Now, we saw last time, let's come back here to John, the 10th chapter. We saw last time, all right, John, the 10th chapter, and let's see this here. Remember how we saw it was written in a book or a scroll concerning me, that is concerning the sacrifice? Remember what we read, the last verse in Daniel, the 10th chapter? Was written in the scripture of truth. The angel was saying that scripture of truth was in heaven. Now, what was Old Testament scripture written on? What is it, a book like we have, or was it a scroll? A scroll. Okay? All of this was written in heaven beforehand. And God the Father and Jesus Christ had a covenant agreement. So let's read it here, John 10. Let's pick it up here in verse 14. John 10 and verse 14. I'm the good shepherd, and I know those who are mine, and I am known of those who are mine. Just as the Father knows me, I also know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring those also, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now, how do you hear the voice of God? Through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God leading you to understand it. On account of this, the Father loves me because I lay down my life, that I may receive it back again. This was agreed when it was decided that he would become the sacrifice for all human beings. And he had to do it because he was the creator of all human beings. And only his death as a human being would be able to cover the sins of all human beings. Nothing else could do it. Okay? Because I lay down my life that I may receive it back again. No one takes it from me. That's why Jesus said, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. But I lay it down of myself. I have authority. From whom? The Father and the covenant agreement that they had between them. To lay it down and authority to receive it back again, this commandment I received from my Father. So what did he have to do? How did God figure this out? Should Jesus just all of a sudden appear on the scene as a full-grown man, walk around and say, who are you? Never seen you before. You know? Well, I came from heaven. Really? Okay. Well, what did he have to do? Let's come to Philippians, the 2nd chapter. This is quite something that he had to do. And it took an awful lot of love. Okay? Great amount of love for this to happen. It also tells us one of the goals we are to strive for in growing and overcoming spiritually. Now, a little sidebar here. Coming in this next mailing, you're going to receive 2 CDs. And we have there the 5 segments on Passover preparation, covering John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Okay? And you will see that this New Testament covenant is a covenant of absolute godly love. So let's think about what is it that we gave up when we were called? Let's ask another question. What did Jesus give up to make it all possible? That's the real question. And he starts out, let's start out in verse 1 because he leads up to it. So let's ask the question, how much humility does God have? How much love does God have? And remember there in John 15, he said, you are to love one another as I love you, and if you keep my commandments, my Father will love you, and I will love you. So notice how all of this is prefaced with love up to verse 5. Verse 1, now then, if there be any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any deep inner affections and compassions, now stop right here. How are we to love God? With all our heart and mind and soul and being, correct? Love our neighbors as ourselves. How much does God love us? Greater than that. Greater than that. Fulfill my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being joined together in soul, minding the one thing that is attaining to eternal life in the kingdom of God. Let nothing be done through contention or vain glory, but in humility, each esteeming the others above himself. Now, how much humility does God have in the person of Christ? What did he give up? He had the authority. There was the covenant. There was the agreement. All right. Here's what he did. We'll see it here. Let each one look not only after his own things, but let each one also consider the things of others. That's what God was doing, considering all of humankind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that comes with the words of God registering in our minds, being written in our hearts and minds, the truth of God, the Spirit of God, and all of this together, okay, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself. Now, that's quite an interesting thing, see, because we saw where Jesus said, and Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. All right? He emptied himself of all of that. All of that. Entrusted himself in the hands and power of God the Father. Emptied himself and was made in the likeness of men. Every bodily function and everything of being human being Jesus had. Went further. From being God and creator, took on the form of a servant or slave. And being found in manner of man, did Jesus get tired? Yes. Did Jesus sleep? Yes. Did Jesus eat? Yes. All of those things. Yes. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the whole purpose of the Passover. And all of this was planned. Imagine that. Just think on that, you know. And there are some things we need to keep in mind just so that we don't let our human nature and vanity exalt us. Because compared to what Christ has done, you know, we need to be thankful for it. Okay? Now then, let's see what had to happen. Let's come to Luke, the first chapter. Now that's why we have in the book, from a speck of dust to a son of God, we have there how human life is conceived. And actually, when we begin, we can't even be seen unless you were able to look at a sequence of it under great magnification. That's how small we are. Okay. So God, who created the vastness of the heavens and the earth and the universe and everything that is there, and all human beings whom he made in his image. And remember in Genesis, the first chapter, it says, let us, God the Father in Christ, make man in our image after our likeness. Okay? So, the angel Gabriel came to Mary. Verse 29, chapter 1. Now, some of the things that are written here about Mary and these encounters and so forth, these had to be written down and preserved by Mary. Because remember, it says, she kept these things in her heart. Okay? Now, this is astonishing. Just think of it now. Here you are, probably 18 to 20 years old, engaged to be married to Joseph, and all of a sudden, here's an angel of God, boom, right there in your room. And she was perplexed at the, let's go back to verse 28. And after coming to her, the angel said, "Hail, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was greatly perplexed at his message. What is this? And was considering what kind of salutation this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, because you have found grace with God. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." All planned, fulfillment of the times, Galatians, the fourth chapter. So Jesus had to be reduced to just a pinpoint of life. Now, question. Since all human beings are that small, what can God contain in a small pinpoint of something we cannot see? Now, that's a fantastic thing, isn't it? You know, sometimes it's good to contemplate these things, how great God is. Now she knew the facts of life, okay? Now the angel continues. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of David his forefather." We read that in Isaiah 9, right? Yes. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob into the ages, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "Wouldn't you? How shall this be, since I've not had sexual relations with a man?" You know, I wonder how many girls would like to have this excuse. Okay? "Wasn't me, Mom." Hey. Not so. "How shall this be, since I've not had sexual relations with a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy One being begotten in you shall be called the Son of God." And that is a literal translation, because it is a present tense passive participle, being begotten right at the instant that the angel was talking to her. Bang. That is an amazing thing. Think of what God the Father had to do, what Jesus had to do, and I think it's really beyond our minds to grasp it. I mean, we can intellectually think about the possibilities of it, but when we understand how small that every new conception is, and think about what Jesus had to give up and to understand that this was planned from the foundation of the world. That is an amazing thing, truly. Now then, think about how God has dealt with the people that he has called, and we're all part of that, see? Isn't that something? Now, we don't have any royalty here in our little midst. We don't have any presidents or potentates. We don't have any of that. And as a matter of fact, you look at us today, and especially demographically as we're getting older, okay, we are truly weak. We truly are the weak of the world, but we are going to become the powerhouses of the world when we rule and reign with Christ. Think of that. Okay? All right. Then he makes another announcement. See, when God sets his hand to do something and to do it to confound all human beings, he does a miracle. Was it a miracle that Sarah conceived and brought forth Isaac. Yes. That was a foretype of this. Only God did it with old age. And he did it also with Elizabeth and Zechariah in their old age. Now, you can't do that when you're going to bring a brand new infant in who is going to be the Son of God. Imagine what kind of person that Mary had to be. Isn't that something? And that also shows how great that women really are. Just think what the world would be like without any men. I mean, any women, okay? Well, some women like to think what it would be like without any men, but who knows? There would be no end to war and killing. None. God made man and said, it's not good. He should be alone. Why? Because he am prone to get in trouble. See? So I'll make a helpmate that'll civilize him, hopefully. Just a little humor here. We've got to have that. All right? Okay. So then he says, verse 36, now behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, actually her aunt, the sister of Mary's mother, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. Now, nobody knew about this because Elizabeth stayed in the house. She didn't go out of the house for 6 months. So then Mary, you got to keep this secret. I mean, in order for this to really get carried through so that Joseph would be the foster father, an angel had to tell Joseph, this is from God. Because if Mary would have said, Joseph, I'm pregnant. This is from God. Really? See? So an angel had to tell him, this is from God. All right? So what did Mary do? She rose up and ran over to her aunt's. And then you can read the rest of the account here in chapter 1 of the book of Luke. And she stayed 3 months. She hid herself with Elizabeth for 3 months just until it was about time to be born. Okay? Now then, let's go ahead and take a break and we'll come back.